Here we go. Psalms again, my favorite psalms. And so, you know, again, looking over the ones that not necessarily all of them haven't always been either ones that are just the major ones that you immediately think of, but ones that just meant a lot to me as we went through them here together 10 years ago and when I went through them in Marin, selecting ones that just for some reason stood out especially to me. And today we come to two more of those psalms, Psalm 95 and Psalm 100. And Psalm 95 we'll start with today. Now, does anybody here know what a honeymoon salad is? Lettuce alone. Lettuce alone. There's one for you. Well, I only tell you that to tell you this. And that is that this psalm, Psalm 95, is the salad psalm. It's a psalm that's a very healthy psalm. You could take this one to soup plantation with you. This is a really healthy psalm. You know why? Because your greens are good for you. Didn't your mother tell you that when you were little? The greens are good for you. And so this is a healthy psalm because it's full of lettuce. What do you mean, John Henry? Take a look with me, will you? Look down through it there. Let us sing. Let us shout. Let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. I'm going to tell you, you're never going to forget Psalm 95 now. Am I right or am I right? You're never going to forget Psalm 95 now, because this is the psalm that says, let us. A salad psalm, the healthy psalm, the green psalm. But I'll tell you, all kidding aside though, it is a healthy psalm for the spirit and for the soul. Because let us give thanks, praise God, worship him, kneel, bow down, and praise him. It's a beautiful one to remember. It's so important. Let us sing. Let us shout joyfully. Let us give thanks. Let us shout with psalms. Let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel. And another aspect of the let us part would be that, you know, he's not saying let us theorize about this. Let us imagine how jolly good it would be to do this. Let us contemplate on this. Let us give a sermon on this. Let us go and hear a Bible study on this. He says, let us do it. Just be in the habit of doing it rather than theorizing and talking about it and speaking about it and all that sort of stuff. It's a call to do, to get involved and to act. And again, worshiping, bowing down, praising him, giving him thanks and praising him. I have been convicted to the extent of that I feel a little of that has dwindled in my life and ministry. Oh yes, we do our devotions, we do prayer time, we do this and we do that. But just absolutely going out there on a beautiful sunny day like today, or in the nighttime and looking at the stars. And let us give thanks. Let us praise. Let us. So, you know, I go out on cycles, you know, and I'll tell you the craziest thing in all the world, and I'm no great singer. You know that. But I will tell you one thing. I'm singing on my bike. And so I'm saying, well, I don't know the words of songs, you know. I know them all. Paul is singing them, or they're being here in the church on Sunday, or when I was sitting here with Chuck, I could sing them all because he was leading me in every line. You wouldn't believe it. I'd start singing a bit of a song and the whole thing would start coming to me. I'd be able to sing it. And I was singing, going along on my bicycle. A few times I got a few strange looks, you know. But I didn't give a hoot, you know. I'm singing out to the Lord and really enjoying it. And something I'd heard years ago came back to me, and I'd like to share it with you right now. And that is, feelings follow form. And it stuck with me. I don't know where I heard it, but I thought it was great. Feelings follow form. What do you mean by that, John Henry?
Well, you could say, I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel in the mood. Let us bow down, let us kneel, let us worship. I don't really feel like singing today, you know.
Well, you know what? If feelings, we wouldn't want to be relying on them, right? You know, sometimes people ask me, how do you feel? I say, gee, you don't know me very well, do you? You mean how do I feel right now? Or how did I feel a minute ago? Or how I feel in a minute if you say something to me I don't like? Or how I felt about, you know, feelings. My goodness. They come and they go and they're all a mess. And we're all a mess with feelings most of the time. Unless you are stoic, or unless you are one of those people that has absolutely been anointed and empowered by God to be immune to all that. But I guess push the right button and maybe we could see. Maybe we'd have a Mount St. Helens experience with you if you've been building it up for years. So feelings follow form. Think about this with me, will you? Just as we worship the Lord, and this is a great almost class for worship. And that is that if you form it in your mind and you decide upon a course of action and you are determined upon that course, as Dickens said, as determined as a snowflake that droppeth from the sky to the earth, intent upon its purpose to land on the ground. If you are as intent upon your purpose as that Dickens wrote, if you are intent on doing it with that absolute defined, definite ending for that snowflake, it'll hit the ground. You are going to do this. You are going to, no matter what. You're set on that course. Then you're, and even no matter what you're feeling like, your feelings will follow. So form it in your mind, make a decision. I think with everything, isn't it true? With negativity and bitterness and talking, you know, fearful stuff and being negative about things and everything. I do it, I know, I slip into that. No. Determine. Let me, God, make a decision right now. I'm going to stop this. And I'm not going to say, well, I don't really feel like going to church. I don't feel like worshiping. Go and do it, press in, and watch the feelings follow the form. So, again, I thank God for wherever I heard that, it really, and it came back to me. I had forgotten it in the preparation for this morning. It doesn't really matter what you feel like. Because as I said to you, if you're honest and will admit with me, your feelings go from everywhere to up here to as low as they can possibly go. And it depends sometimes on the circumstances or things that are going on in your life. And so, people say to you, how do you feel about it? You know, right now? Or how will I feel? Or how did I feel? Or perhaps I'm going to feel. It depends on this and that and the other thing. We just can't be relying on our feelings. Oh, I don't feel like doing it, Pastor. I really don't. You know, I feel a bit, And then, people struggle with depression and being low, and that's absolutely true, and I'm not taking from that. It's very difficult. They're not at the same start line as somebody who doesn't have any of those problems. But don't you think it really excites the Lord and it blesses the Lord when somebody like that who's going through those kind of problems and going through those kind of troubles actually praises God? I mean, I think, you know, that's worth more than a minute of somebody doing that is worth days of somebody who has no problem at all and feeling great and doesn't do it. So, feelings follow form, and I like this here, let us, and the joke about the lettuce is good, it helps us remember the psalm, but the important thing to take note of is let us do it. Let us stop talking about how I can't and how I don't really feel like doing it. Let's just do it. And so this is not, once again today, this is not preaching at you. This is exhortation. This is God talking to Johnny, and I hope that maybe in that, you may be hearing from him too, through the transparency that I offered to you this morning, that in my life, I need more of pressing in and just doing it. And in actual fact, there has been a drop in my absolutely just worshiping him and praising him and thanking him. So I just found when I was cycling the bike as I was singing all the way and then quoting bits of Psalms that would come to me and everything. My goodness, by journey's end, I felt fantastic. You know, and had known his blessing. So here he says, worship, sing, shout. These are the ways you can do it. Worship, sing, shout. I didn't do any shouting on my bike. You know, kind of shouted quietly, you know, so that people necessarily wouldn't think they'd be sending the men in the white coats to come after me. They're coming to take him away. Ha ha. No. Shout, bow, kneel. I like that too, you know. Now, of course, kneeling too, you know, we think about there could be a big, I've seen people in churches. I remember when I pastored the church, there was this guy and he was intent every time on coming up and in the middle of worship or sometimes even when I'd be preaching and kneeling in the front and throwing himself down. And I mean, praise the Lord. God bless him. If that's a real connection that he has with the Lord, that's fine. The only thing is it was a major distraction for people. See? So what he was doing inadvertently, and I'm sure not intentionally,
is he was taking attention away from God and putting it onto him. Remember, Chuck used to talk about that all the time. In fact, Chuck said, there's only one rule that I know of in worship, how to do it. Don't take attention away from God and onto yourself. If you go into a church and they're all doing this, don't be, enter in. If you're going in and they're not, it's a different kind of a thing going on there, then go with it. But don't draw the attention when people are focused on God and worshiping him away from God and onto you. So that's something I've always observed. When I heard him say that, I thought it made practical and very good sense. Kneel. And we talk about kneeling down. Oh, excuse me, I have to pray now. You know, down on your knees, and it looks very spiritual and everything. And again, or Chuck used to say years ago, you know, it's kneeling in your heart. We can kneel on our knees and make a big show, but am I kneeling in my heart? That means, am I bowed down and submitted to the Lord my God? And that's the kind of kneeling, really, that he's talking about here. Kneeling, giving thanks, and praying. So the first portion of the psalm that we are looking at here in these first verses, let's read them. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. How beautiful is that? Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God. Here are the reasons why you should do it, okay? For the Lord is the great God. And the king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. Now, if I could sing, I'd be breaking out into song right now. Do you recognize that one? There's a beautiful song and a hymn in there. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our maker. And there's a reason to worship him. He's our maker. He made us. He's king. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And to bow down. So I'm hoping now that the beginning of this psalm, in application for you as it has been for me, is making you think, how have I been? Not just in saying my prayers, in doing the devotional thing, but in actually coming before him and praising you. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I praise you. I give you glory. You know, wherever I am, I'll praise him. Whenever I can, I'll praise him. For his word surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. And then sing, you know, speak it out, whatever, but not asking for anything, not listing off, not doing the order in your prayer time. Just unabashed, beautiful, free-flowing worship and praise to God. And that's what he's telling us in Psalm 95. Come, oh come, let us do it. Let us do it. And now, as we move into the second part of the psalm, verses 7 to 11, I'm going to read them through. And I'd like you to now bear in mind that the first 10 verses, what did we say it was focused on? Worshiping, praising, and giving thanks to God and doing it. Part 2, if you want to write down beside verse 7 here, you could write obedience, because part 2 is a call to obedience. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Well, of course, that again is the reason why we should be worshiping him. But here comes the obedience part in verse 8. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So there's a call here to obedience. Don't harden your hearts. Now, how did they harden their hearts? They hardened their hearts, if you want to write down Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, and therein you will find that the hardening of the heart was, he said, don't be like your fathers here who disobeyed me. How did they do so? Well, you'll read it in Exodus chapter 17. They murmured, they griped, they complained, and they did not enter his rest. Now, I thought that was real interesting. You know, the story, of course, is that you remember it when they were thirsty and they had no water and they were constantly irritant to Moses. They were complaining and griping and things were wrong and all murmuring, griping, complaining. And God said, I swore they will not enter my rest. Now, anybody here today and you know you're not really at rest within yourself. I'm not talking about you could have ailments and they bother us and they trouble us and they can be difficult, and especially people going through terrible trials and things like that, and they're not resting because they're struggling with something. Perhaps have a slight consciousness or awareness of that, the little ailments that I've been going through. So, you know, I do understand. I think sometimes when that happens, it gives me a greater understanding too, which is a blessing because I can understand what people are going through. So I'm not talking about if you're physically or mentally going through stuff, but you're not really at rest and at peace within yourself. And if anybody says something and at the drop of a hat, you're ready to snap and snarl and be angry and bitter and all the things that beset us. Now, I don't think I'm pointing fingers at anybody. I think God is coming and speaking to every one of us on this issue. Because to some extent, this is going on in most of us. But if it's like MO, if it's something that's taking over, if it's on any level, it's something to be considered today. But if, for instance, it has kind of got some kind of control of your life and you're not at peace and you are for a while and you go to church and you sit down and you're kind of at peace right now and everything's fine, I'm in church. But the right button pushed, somebody says the thing just that will irritate you, boom, the peace is gone. Or you've no fear and you're pretty happy about something, but something comes and it's peace is gone, taken away.
They stole my peace away. They took my peace. I was doing fine and look, you know.
Well, here's the thing. You know, he tells us right here in his word that griping, complaining, murmuring, all these things they did in Exodus 17 shut down God's, them being able to enter into his rest. And I believe that for us today because we're believers. Talking to believers right now. We are saved. We're regenerate. We're going home to heaven when we die. But what about the quality of life, spiritual life, here now? That can be enriched. I want mine enriched. Don't you? Do I hear an amen? That can be enriched by worshiping him and praising him. Part one of the psalm. And part two, by walking in obedience. And in absolute submission and surrender to whatever the Lord wants in your life and from you. And no matter what is going on, I woke up this morning and I discovered the ocean waves going in my left ear. Once again, I went, oh no, it's come back. And I thought, Well, I'm trusting you, Lord, that you took it away and it's going to go and I'm believing you for it. But funny thing is, in light of what I'm sharing this morning, I was thinking, hey, this isn't disturbing my peace. I'm at rest with you, Lord. I want to be. I'm not going to let something come in. That was a physical thing. But we all know the mental things can be even a lot worse where somebody says something to you or does something or triggers it or you hear something or it just breaks out because, well, that's the way I was. I find it hard to shed that. No. Let us stop that. Let us worship him and praise him. Put these two together. If we get that from this psalm, that's the application, man. If we get that and we walk away from here believing that God had you here today to hear that, stop griping, complaining, and murmuring. Now, when I say stop, and we're all being realistic. We're in these bodies of flesh. We falter, flop, and fail. And we're not going to achieve perfection here upon planet Earth, but desiring with all our hearts to cut out the negative stuff, the complaining, the griping, the belittling, the tearing down, and the murmuring, and the complaining. And there are some people, nothing is ever right. Did you ever find that, you know? No matter what you do, it's just not right, you know? I remember when this sanctuary was redone, it was about 10 years ago when I was teaching through this. And the people who came in and said, I mean, it looked so much nicer. It had faded, it had got bad, it had got old. People came in and said, I don't like the color. I prefer the pews. I don't like this. I don't like, you know, there's always, now, notwithstanding, everybody's entitled to their opinion. People like something better than something else, of course. That's human life, and that's normal. That's okay. But I'm talking about people who every time they would meet or talk about it, everything is wrong all the time. It's not just the pews. It's not just the color of the sanctuary. It wasn't just the way the foyer was done or something this was done. But it's just everything is always wrong, you know? And it's a terrible state to exist in. You have no peace. And that's what the psalmist is saying, and to all of us guys today, to enter in. And again, finally on it, to do, D-O, D-O. Do you remember that in Psalm? No. In Philippians chapter 4, after Paul went through the whole of Philippians, and he's talking to them, and he tells them, you know, It's in chapter 4 where he says, you know, if anything is good, praiseworthy, noble, true, just, meditate and write. Meditate on these things. Meditate on good things. Meditate on things that are of good report. You know that portion? In Philippians chapter 4. Do you know what he says right after that? He says, now these things. See, he went through the whole of Philippians. These things that you have heard and seen in me, put them into practice. Or the King James, do. The NIV, put into practice, which to me is almost like a little expansion of it or paraphrasing of it. Put it into practice, do it. Now, think about it is this. We're going to walk out of here today. We're going to walk out of here in another 4 hours. No, just kidding. And the doors aren't locked. We're going to walk out of here shortly. And when we do, have we just heard it? Because if you're like me, that's what happens a lot of the time. You just hear it, and by golly, do you agree with it and affirm it? Because it's God's word, not because it's John Henry or whoever, but you affirm it and you agree with it because absolutely ain't that the truth, because it says it in God's holy word, and oh man, I want that, and I believe, I agree with you. Oh yes, yes, yes. But do we do it? Do we do it? Do we put it into practice? So I have that mentality as we go out with this psalm. What am I putting into practice? Worshiping, praising, giving thanks, giving glory, loving him, adoring him, and being so grateful for all he's done for us, and making sure I'm walking in obedience to him. Well, Psalm 100, our second psalm and final one today, and again, one of my favorites, absolutely of all time. But it never hit me as it did this time, and with one word at the very beginning. And dear Patty Duke was so very kind, as she often is, as she always is. Sorry, Patty. But with regard to what I'm going to tell you about, suddenly new thoughts were just swirling around in my mind with regard to this psalm, as opposed to when I taught it the last time. And it all stemmed from, you know, sitting, looking at it, and thinking about it, and reflecting on it, and looking at the psalm, and for lots of time getting nothing at all, which is mostly all that was the case with me. Help! Commentaries, help! Chuck, help! You know, but this time I was sitting and I was looking at it, and along with all the helps as well, by the way, they weren't negated or wiped out. One word sort of lit up in front of me, and that was ingratitude. Not gratitude, not giving thanks, not praise, ingratitude. And you know what? I know what ingratitude means. But for the fun of it, I decided I'd look it up on the phone, on the dictionary thing there, and I clicked onto it, ungratitude. And of course, not being grateful. Ingratitude is not being grateful, a state of being ungrateful, a state of not giving thanks. And suddenly I went, wow, there's an aspect. Because in actual fact, now again, I got to thinking about my own life. And I thought, am I frequently and constantly giving thanks? You know, if you're a husband or a wife, you may have had your wife, as I've had, say to me, or you may have had your husband say to you, if the wife is the other way around or whatever. You know, you never praise me. You never say, wow, you're fantastic. That was so good the way you did that. And I really love you. And I suppose, you know, that marital counseling, that's what you'd be talking about, making sure your wife knows that she's el numero uno under God. The wife being able to let the husband know there's nobody before him. I really love you. You're so great. You know, and we don't. And sometimes, and I've been guilty of this. And I could, you know, as Chuck used to say, anybody who makes excuses is good for nothing else.
Romain used to say that. That was Romain, but he got it from Chuck. But in actual fact, you know, you can always say, well, my upbringing. My father always told me as a child growing up, you know, if I said, Daddy, didn't I do good? What do you think? 6 foot Scot, you know, Scots Irish. Looking down on me, saying, stand up straight, John Henry, shoulders back. But I couldn't keep him back for very long, unfortunately. And he was towering down at me, and you know, I would say, I do good. Did you see that, Dad? I scored a goal. Let others praise you, not yourself, young man. Okay. So we can blame upbringing. Now, my dear old dad, I think he was probably like a lot of dads of that era and time, and it wasn't. You didn't, you know, do that kind of thing. You were kind to your children. My dad was very kind, very fair. But he, you know, he didn't praise me. And in fact, if there was a group around or something, and somebody else did something, you know, he'd be apt more to say, "Good man, Johnny and Tommy." And I'd be going, "What about me, Dad?" You know, "Oh, no, good man, good man." You know, and he would look to the others and not to me. So we can use excuses. And I think, though, that being grateful, being appreciative. Maybe that's something you want to say to your wife today, to your husband today, to your children today, to your parents today, to someone you know today. I'm so grateful for you. You're just such a great friend. And the way you do this and this is wonderful. Now, maybe you might even see somebody you don't necessarily like that terribly much, and you want to say nice something about them. John Henry, I can't say one thing nice about her. I can't say one thing nice about him. How about, you know what? You have lovely hair. Think of something, anything. I jest slightly, but I will tell you one thing. Be in a mode of giving thanks. Be in a mode of thanking. And I think with God, it's so important because it must start there, where we're thanking him. Where for all, you know, we've got so much when you think about it. And I don't even care what anybody, and I know there are people in this sanctuary are listening right now, suffering from different diseases, and some people have barely made it here today physically, or even maybe barely made it here today mentally because of the emotional trials and because of the struggle with depression or whatever. I don't want to go, but you're here. You know, no matter what you're going through, there's room to give thanks because, listen, it's only a nanosecond here and we have eternity in heaven. And we're struggling through whatever we've got to do with the Lord guiding us and fellowship and friends to get through this life. But we know at journey's end, we're going home to heaven, where there will be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore in the company of the Lord our God. So the call of Psalm 100, we talked about family and friends and husbands and wives, giving thanks first to God. Now, I want more of this. I was cycling along and again studying this. As I say now, I'm the first soldier in this battle. I'm the first student in this class. Because God was speaking to me, said, "Johnny, I want you to thank me more. I want you to be appreciative. Look at all that I'm doing for you. Look at all the good things I've sent your way. And how little you thank me." And wow. You know, if somebody was to walk in today here and hand you $10 million, you know, said, "Listen, I won't give you this. Here's $1 million. Here's $1 million. You know, how about it? You wouldn't just say, "Oh, thanks very much. Great, thank you. That's nice. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, thank you." Are you kidding me? You'd probably be doing obeisance. You'd be rolling around. $1 million, oh, good gravy, you know. And you'd be so delighted. Listen, we got all the riches of eternity, all the spiritual blessings of Ephesians chapter 1 given to us. And you think how we would thank for an earthly blessing, and we scarcely thank him much at all. Apart from, and I know this is speaking to a lot of people, it may not be speaking to you. You may say, "Well, no, not me, John Henry. I really thank the Lord every day for a big part of my worship." But for most people, you know, we kind of, our thanks comes into part of our prayer. "Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful new day, for all your blessings. Now, Lord, Angela, Margaret, Mary, Tom, and Lord, my needs and his needs and their needs, and Lord, what's going on with these people? Why are they behaving?" And on goes the list. And then maybe
read a bit of the Bible, but calling on God and just being with God and thanking him and praising him. This psalm says, "Oh, come, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." I do put it, again, bearing in mind the grumbling and griping that we looked at in Exodus chapter 17. So much of that. Here's how to break that. Here's how to break that. You know, I'm going to stop being grumpy. I'm going to stop complaining. I'm going to stop being negative. Try it. I bet you have. And it creeps back in another door. Something else happens. But here's how to break it. Here's the key. Coming before his presence with thanksgiving. I think that if you look around even at the world today and you see, you know, we have so much to be thankful for here in America. And even many people have lots, driveways with more than one car in there. Abundant, affluent society that we live in. Gadgets, appliances, televisions, telephones, iPhones, iPads, MacBook Airs, computers of all kinds, massive refrigerators, all kinds of food in the refrigerator. Someone said that it isn't so much an easygoing lifestyle as very often a downright luxurious lifestyle. And in comparison to people, no matter you say, well, I don't quite have lots of cars and my fridge isn't full of food. Whatever you've got, you're light years beyond what many people have throughout this world. And many who are starving today. We have so much to be grateful for. Now, abundance in itself is not a sin. There are many people in the Bible that had an abundance. Abraham, Job, Joseph, David, Solomon, Josiah, Barnabas, Lydia, Nicodemus, many that we see in the Bible that had abundance. And there are many, of course, and they lived powerful spiritual lives. There are others who their money and their wealth and everything caused them to lose sight of God. And that's the danger, of course. You know, again, the saying, you know, I think it was Chuck used to often say it. Remember here, it's one thing to possess your possessions, but don't let them possess you. When things get a hold of you, and you know, so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for, and the ingratitude that abounds. And as I said to you, I'm being honest with you, it was my own sense of wanting to be more grateful that stirred me on this course to take a look at this psalm in greater detail for today. Because I thought, I need to be and I want to be more grateful. I want to be more thankful. Above all and beyond, if you were to take it all from me right now today, my health mentally or physically be gone. And I was on a sick bed. No matter what the lowest position I could go to, I know when I exit this earth, I'm home with you. I've got everything. So there's where I'm thanking you from. I'm not just thanking you because I've got this and I've got that and I got the other thing. I'm thanking you because I've got eternal life and then the blessings you've allowed come my way. But they're yours, God. Yours to give and yours to take away. Make a joyful shout. Let's get going at verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. I want to take you to the Hebrew for a moment, and I won't start quoting Hebrew for you, but I will tell you this much, that if you research this, you will find out that you look at this verse in the original language in the Hebrew, it doesn't say, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. It says, shout to the Lord, all you lands. Leaves out the word joyful. Now, there's enough joyful coming in other places here, so that won't take from this to any extent at all. But what I want you to get is here that, well, you know, if you're coming to God with thanksgiving, it's a given, it's going to be joyful. Because you're thanking him and praising him. Now, again, notwithstanding, if you're suffering from depression, you really feel low a lot, and you say, oh, it's easy for you, John Henry. You don't know what I'm going through, and you know I can hardly lift my head up sometimes. Well, that one little shout from you is worth its weight in gold to God. He's not measuring. He knows that we're all at different start lines, even different personalities. Never mind depression. Somebody could be more of a stoic kind of individual, personality-wise. But I always say, too, though, when God saves us, you know, say, that's the way I am, that's the way I was made. God didn't save us to just leave us the way we were. God wants to change us. We're not clones of one another, but he wants to bring us, using our personality, into a new relationship with him. And again, feelings follow form. So even from the place of deepest depression, you can hardly lift your head and you're going, I praise you, God, I praise you, I praise you. That's resounding in heaven, like somebody else out on the beach or in the night sky screaming to God with thanks and praise. So I want to qualify that. I think that's very important, so that nobody would feel, oh man, you know, I can't do this. I can't shout. Shout to the Lord. The word shout in the Hebrew, if you're taking notes today, says it's like a blast of a trumpet. So it would be a shout. It would be a roar out to the Lord. It's like the blast of a trumpet, thunder sound. And you know, I was thinking about it, and when one of the commentators said words for that shout today would possibly be when, now I want you to bear in mind, you're shouting out to the Lord in thanks, right? Let's just envisage. Join with me in thinking for a moment that it's something wonderful, as a, like the millionaire giving you the $1 million.
Thank you, oh my goodness, my gracious.
Of course you would. You'd be thrilled, solve lots of problems, bless you. Be delighted.
Oh, thank you. Oh, praise you, thank you, you know.
Shout, of course it'll be joyful. Well, the commentator said a couple of ways would be great, fantastic, wonderful, praise God, amen, shouting out to God. And my mind went to our pastor of old, the pastor, Pastor Chuck, who's with the Lord in glory right now. And all the times I heard him say, and even to me, I'd go into office and I'd say, oh, so-and-so's coming to the Thursday morning Bible study and she had headaches for 3 years. Things like this have happened here, amazing things. And she, the headaches, she said, are gone. She's not experiencing anymore. And I'd come to him with miracles and things were happening. And the many times, here's what he'd say. Chuck would beam from ear to ear. He loved to hear stories like that. And he would beam and he'd say, all right, far out. You betcha, right on. Romaine did the same. Many's the time I'd go in there and I'd say to Romaine, I visited so-and-so in the hospital, oh man, and she was really low and everything, got to pray with her, she's feeling better. And I told her you were thinking of her and praying for her too. Invariably he'd say, I'll go with you the next time. Connie and Mary, you remember those times. And so we used to be in the hospital ministry together. And so you know, he would say to me, I'd come into Romaine and I'd say, that woman, I visit her, and oh, she was so blessed when she heard you were thinking about her and praying for her, and I prayed with her, and she's feeling much better. Right on! And I went, yes, now I get it. That wasn't just some American lingo or something that was said here in California or far out. Way to go! That's what he's talking about. Do you get it? Because he says, make a shout out to the Lord. Chuck did it all the time. 100 times I heard him say, right on. And now I know why. I didn't get it back then, but now I know. He was shouting out to the Lord. When God does something for you, brothers and sisters, stay with me. When God does something for you, think with me now. Don't answer out loud. Neither will I. Neither will I. We won't be convicting each other. We'll let the Lord do that. Are we really grateful? Do we kind of brush it off and, oh, thank you, Lord. That's wonderful. That's great. Now, what's next? Because we're in this busy society where we've been pulled. Get out in the night, go out on the beach, go walk on the trail, go somewhere and shout out and be grateful and thank him. And you know what? When you wake up in the morning and you jump out of bed and you realize there's a few things going wrong, all right, floaters and waves and maybe a few other things, and I'm stiff, I lost a little bit of weight recently, and I love it. People are very kind, aren't they? Somebody said to me, I said, I was trying to jump down from up here, you know. And I realized, oh, gee, I can't do that. So I had to sit down and get down, you know. And somebody said to me, John Henry, what? The problem is, you lost weight, but you're still old. And I love it. And I don't mind telling this one, and he'll probably kill me for mentioning him. I'm very fond of John, so I mean it only in fun. But John Jackson said to me, you know, and I told him, you're jealous. You're just jealous. John said to me, you know, he came into my office one day, and John said to me, I was talking to so-and-so, and they said, oh, John Henry's lost a lot of weight. He's, you know, he's looking very slim and everything. And it almost seemed like John was irritated hearing all these people saying how much weight I'd lost. And John turned and said, what? Oh, yes, he's lost a lot of weight, you know, and everything like that. And then John said, yeah. He used to be a fat old man. Now he's just skinny old man. You know? And I thought, that's classic John, by the way. You probably don't know him very well. He's kind of behind the scenes man here, but believe you me, he does most everything you see working around here has been his fingers pushing buttons to make it happen. But the thing about it is that, in a sense, of course not in a sense, it's absolutely true. We're all winding down. We're all on the road home. And there are things wrong. And I do feel, you know, sometimes as stiff as a poker, trying to, you know, move around or whatever. But the bottom line here is, guys, you know, you jump out of bed and whatever is going on, you think of, okay, I have no shoes, but what about the guy with no feet, right? And when you do, and actually in this ministry, in this job that I do, that's often really good. Now, I want to tell you, I can't think of her name, and it's some months back, but I remember it capped it all for me. I thought, oh my goodness, because I know there are people suffering from stuff here. A gal standing here, and she was now down to not even being able to sip water, or it poured out of her body. And she was in constant, never-ending, ongoing, never-stopping pain. And she couldn't eat, and she could hardly walk. And I remember thinking, gosh, and how we can, you know, now, it's all relative, and if you're going through something, and you're struggling, and there's pain, and there's stuff going on, of course, you know, and we cry out to God, and we ask him for help, and God loves that. And that's a wonderful thing to do, and ask him for healing, and not, oh, I can't ask for healing because somebody, I'm not saying that, because somebody is worse off than me. No. Whatever you have, he said, ask, seek, and knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And believe for that, and believe for the healing. But what we're focused on today is the thanksgiving. Don't lose sight of thanking him. Think today with you, with me, as we go out of here today, and you go your way, and I go mine, and you think, what have I got to be thankful for? I've got these things, oh yeah, got all these things. What have I got to be thankful for? And push those aside. And you know what? Maybe even if you're brave enough to join me, take them and say, how can you use these, God? I told you already, even the sound of my left ear, the wave movement and that, quite frankly, now it gives me a greater appreciation of somebody who's going through something, pain, for instance, that doesn't stop or something. You know, God can use it. Do you remember? Do you remember the three E's? The first E, I haven't told this one for a long time, and this, people might not have heard it. The first E, when trouble comes, you can try to escape. I'm going to run away. I don't want this. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to tell you one thing. Watch out, because when you go there somewhere else, it'll either follow you or you'll get a brand new trouble start over there. Then you'll have to keep running for the rest of your life. The second E, you try to endure it, and you become a misery to everybody around you. Because every time they see you, you're, I don't know. And it's complaining and whining, and it's just terrible. I love the Lord, but this is so much of a struggle, and I don't know if I can. And people are eventually saying, got to go. Got an appointment. Because you're bringing everybody down with you in your endurance. Or thirdly, the third E, you can enlist it. What do you mean by that, John Henry? Enlisted, like an enlisted man in the army. You make it work for your good. You enlist it, and you say, okay, this is a bummer. I've been told today I got this, I got that, I got the other thing. But been told today, it doesn't look the great hope of this being fixed or whatever. How can this be worked now for the good? And actual fact, maybe even to say, Lord, I give it to you completely. You're perfecting me anyway for heaven's glory. So be it, your will be done. And thank him hold on a second, I'm not there yet. Thanking him for that problem. I'm not there yet, I'm sorry. But how about thanking him in that problem? You get it? The enlisting bit? Not saying, thank you for this problem. No, Lord, heal this problem, take this away. But Lord, whatever you're doing, continue to do it through me to perfect me for glory and to make me we comfort others with the comfort we've received. And be able to have a greater heart of wanting to comfort others. Shout out to the Lord and thank him. Come, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Now again here, serve the Lord with gladness. Listen, Chuck used to say years ago, don't do anything in ministry if it's not with a glad and a cheerful heart. I used to tell people when I pastor the church in Marin, having learned that from him here, someone would come up and say, I'm the only one here to do this and these people haven't stepped up on this. I said, you know what, I think probably you should step down. Just leave it. If it's difficult for you and you're worried about what other people are doing with regard to it, forget about it. Just leave it. No, don't feel condemned. I'm not firing you from it. I'm just saying to you, you know, we've got to do whatever we're doing with a cheerful heart and gladly, or don't do it. I love coming here on Thursday mornings. I prefer that to any vacation, to any going anywhere. I love you guys. I'm going to bring the photographs next, the week after next, and remind you about the photograph plan where I pray for you. I haven't done that for some time. I want to get that reinstated fully. I do pray for you still, but I haven't talked about it here for some time. And I haven't been praying as frequently as I would, so I want to reinstate that. And I want to tell you, you know, to me, this is a joy. Now, all ministry, and that's even if people don't like something or set by something, you know, it's not about everything just being harmonious in dealing with life and people and things. You'll always find varying opinions and something that I don't agree with. I'm not talking about, because we are a very special family here. But I love you guys, and I know it's mutual. I know we have a great connection with each other. And so this is the sweetest ministry I'm engaged in this church. And I jokingly said one time, but I mean it. If somebody was to offer me, and I used to say it when the Crystal Cathedral was flying and very busy over there, if somebody was to offer me the Crystal Cathedral and a ministry, but I couldn't have Thursday morning, I'd tell them, keep it. Because ministry has got to be something you enjoy. I tell this to the younger guys that I'm training. It's got to be a joy. And if it's not, don't do it. You know, be involved in helping some way, but don't do anything that isn't giving you just a blessing, and you are a blessing. And because otherwise, you know, it may be successful. It may achieve a certain result. People may come. Things may go on. But there's no core blessing, anointing, empowering of God. That's why I tell all these guys when I go out in hospital calls with them, or when I'm teaching them to do weddings or funerals or anything, what do we need? I said, there's one thing you need, only one. And that's the anointing. Without the anointing, I told you, Gary, my son, and by the way, I will let you know well in advance, and Brian has asked me for, and I would have agreed with it anyway, that Braden will be here for a couple of weeks while I'll be out of town. It's not for a few weeks more, so I'll let you know well in advance. But I'll be away for a few weeks. Part of it is that we're going over for Gary's graduation, his master's degree at Duke Divinity, and then the following week his ordination in the Anglican ministry, the Anglican side, that the side that broke away from the corruption and all the other stuff that was going on, and Gary will be ordained. And so we're flying in. By the way, a little boast in Gary. Out of the 165 students that are allowed into Duke Divinity every 3 years to do their program, three students are picked at the closing year, the close of it, to speak to the assembled other 160-something students. And Gary was one of the ones picked to be one of the guys to speak. Praise the Lord. And I say that, glory to God. He's just a wonderful son, and he's worked two jobs. He's amazing. He's cost us so little, really, in comparison to what he could have cost. And he said to me at the end of it all, he said, Dad, one thing I want is, at the end of the ordination and the other thing, I don't want any money. I have a little bit of money put away for my jobs. But what I would love to do is that maybe we could spend a week or 10 days in Ireland together. So Hillary, Gary and myself, we're going to go to Ireland for about 10 days, maybe a week or 10 days, and spend a little time over there with him. It's his desire. But one thing Gary said to me, all that boasting, to really have just said this, Gary said to me, you know, Dad, I wouldn't have missed 1 minute of the academic of my studies and all I've gone through to do my master's here in Duke Divinity. Be it that I have had to deal with lots of liberal stuff and lots of nutty stuff and lots of way out stuff. But you know what, Dad? It has only entrenched me deeper in my conviction and faith in Christ alone and the resurrection and all the things that could be questioned and threatened. It has only deepened it. I am so glad I did it because I wouldn't have been aware so much. And now I am, and I learned many wonderful things, he said. And the Masters has been just so much of a learning program and have read so much. I don't know how many hundreds of books he said he's read and all that he's doing. He's writing himself now, you know. So he said to me, but Dad, I want to tell you something. Because he knows his old dad doesn't have too much education, you know. I'm like, listening to him, it's like I don't even have the vocabulary. What he's talking about. Well, he said, you know what, Dad? Yes, absolutely. You know, I have done all this learning and everything. But I want you to know one thing, that you're absolutely right about, and you always were, and you still are. I said, by golly, I'm ready for it. You know, sock it to me, baby. He didn't understand that expression. Anybody who's over a certain age does. Anyway. Rowan and Martin, right? So, sock it to me. Go for it. He said, Dad, you're dead right. Without the anointing, it's all a waste of time. Praise the Lord. Without the anointing of the Lord God upon you. So the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. The anointing sets us free. The anointing causes the impact to be great. And I know one thing, that on Thursday mornings here, my whatever level my teaching or instruction or guidance in the God's word would be at, I do know one thing. Watch this. Glory to God. This isn't a boast. It is a boast in the Lord. I know I have his anointing. I have never come up to this pulpit without saying, God, don't leave me there on my own. I might be able to tell a story or two. I might be able to have a little bit of fun. We might be able to have this. We might be able to have that. Might be able to have... a certain teaching through this. But don't let it be just that. Would you come by the power of your Holy Spirit and work through this weak vessel to touch lives and hearts of people? And when people come to me and say, that word spoke to me. See, that's what it's all about. And then it's having an effect in my life. That's what it's all about. And people's lives changed. And that's what the anointing is all about, having the anointing. And with the anointing comes joy. With the anointing comes gladness. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Christ was anointed with the oil of gladness above all his fellows. Do you know what that means? He had more joy than anyone else. Jesus was filled with joy. And I'll tell you, can I share this with you as we're talking about giving thanks, the opposite to murmuring, griping, and complaining that robs joy? Listen, you want to have gladness? Start praising God. Start thanking him. It's not about the American way of, have a nice day. And a big smile and be happy that comes and goes with the wind. But a joy that is within you. You know, again, Chuck used to say years ago, the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is transient. It comes and goes. Say, for instance, you get a car and it's a big one. But then you see someone with a bigger one. Your happiness goes out the window. You get a house. It's a nice neighborhood and everything's wonderful. But then you see somebody across the street with a bigger house. The happiness that you had when you got the house is gone. Joy never goes away. And if you lose your legs, or you get bad news, you got cancer, or you got some ailment, the joy doesn't go. You got waves in your ear, the joy doesn't go. Oh, you're bummed about it. It's a bit of a bummer. It makes me blue a little bit. That's a nuisance. But the joy does not go away. Happiness versus joy. Chuck used to say, happiness is transient, it comes and it goes. It's dependent upon the outward circumstances. Joy does not come and go. It is not dependent on the outward circumstances. It is not transient. Joy remains. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah said. So that now we can know today that no matter what happens, no matter what goes on in our lives, the joy won't go. So if you're shipped off to Hogue tomorrow, or UCI Medical, or to Cedars-Sinai, or to wherever, or over to Fountain Valley, or wherever it might be, you can know that even if you're lying there, and your Bible's beside you, you got the Lord, and he's holding on to you, and you've got it all, and that joy does not go away. no matter what is happening. And there are people here going through circumstances today, physical, emotional, material, not really knowing, uncertain about the future, what's going to go on and what will happen tomorrow and everything. And I'm always amazed with so many people I pray with, and they say to me, well, you know what, John Henry, absolutely, and it is. It's concerning me, so thank you for the prayer, and I'm delighted I can pray. We keep on praying. But they look at me, so many people standing here, and they'll say to me, but you know what, it's uncanny, it's unbelievable. My joy. I just love the Lord as much as ever, and I feel him as close as ever, even though this is really... And there's, of course, I mean, to me, that's the most beautiful thing to hear. That's God's anointing. Serve him with gladness. Serve him with joy. We've got to move on. Oh, dear. Well, we haven't much really here. We're just going to go through this. But again, the point being, guys, not being ungrateful, giving thanks. If you get nothing else, and I'm going to close this out shortly. If you get nothing else than to go out today, go somewhere today, find yourself somewhere today, and go with your husband, with your wife, on your own, whoever, because you're with the Lord, it doesn't matter. You got the Holy Ghost with you. Go out there and praise him and thank him and say, I've been so ungrateful, I'm so sorry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise him and worship him, sing songs, read psalms, whatever you do, but get in touch with him to give him thanks. Damas Shakarian wrote a book one time. He was a full gospel businessman fellowship that got started over here in Anaheim. And David Shakarian wrote a book called The Happiest People on Earth, if you ever can come across it. It's really worth reading. We should be the happiest people on earth. It's sad when you see Christians out in the environment and they're gloomy and sad. I think it's a bad representation of God. And he says here, look, sing with joy. So the question is, are you being joyful? And again, once again, I remind you that when Paul wrote Philippians, he was in prison, and it's the joy epistle. 19 times he mentions joy, and he was chained, and knew most likely he was going to be put to death. So whatever you're going through today, give thanks, and again, show that joy wherever you go, and it will have its effect. Watch this. Mark a couple of things with me quickly. Go in the grocery store. Next time you go to Vaughn's or Ralph's or any of these stores, you know, Albertson's or Stater Brothers or wherever it is. Maybe in Whole Foods if you want to get in touch with yourself or something. No, sorry, just kidding. Wherever you go, take a look at the faces of the people. Have you noticed that? Now, I even think even in the years I've been in America, in 20 years, it's even changed. It's absolutely unbelievable when somebody beams at you, isn't it? You know, you don't get that much. Or somebody is smiling or looking even relatively happy, you know. I think it's wonderful. You know, I'm always very careful. Very often if it's a young girl or something and she beams at me, I kind of go, you know, what's she smiling at me for? But most likely she's saying, you're John Henry, aren't you? Calvary Chapel? Oh, yes. Yes, I am. Exactly. And it's the sweetest thing in all the world. I tell you. But I've had it happen even with, and I give you my heart. One notion in my mind or brain or being of any kind of connection with this girl, if it's even somebody that isn't Calvary or somebody that isn't church, and they come up, do you know how much good it does you when somebody comes up and they go, hi, or says something nice, or... It's precious, isn't it, when you're out and about in the community. And they may not even be Christians. How about us? We go around the place gloomy. We go around the place really walking around and, well, I'm not really happy with this. And the family, the church, the this, the that. There's always something wrong. You know, joy. You go to the grocery store. I honestly think, you know, and I'm not talking about going around the place all the time. I've seen some Christians like that and it makes me a little nervous. Maybe I've got a growing to do. I don't know, but it makes me. I went one time very quickly. I got to finish, but I went one time on a missionary trip, not this church, another church. I won't mention anywhere, in another part of America. I was years back, and they asked me if I would join them on a missionary trip to a city in Ireland for a couple of days. You know, and they flew me over there and everything, paid for everything, flew me in, and it was an area where not far from where I had lived, and it could be possible somebody would know me. You know, and they were so. I was going, oh God, please don't let anybody see me that knows me. And afterwards, I felt so convicted. But God had an amazing way of dealing with me because there were little children in that rough neighborhood. Really, I'm telling you, this was worse than anything in Los Angeles. I mean, there are areas of Dublin that are drugland and danger areas, you know, and they're kind of wild, some of these children. And I'll be honest, I didn't have association with kids like that when I lived in Ireland. I didn't have any dealings with people like that when I lived in Ireland. And so when I actually saw them and I was brought into this room where we were praying and some of these kids were brought in and everything, and they were like, I'm sorry, but to me it seemed like they were thugs, you know? And I was kind of a little bit like, a little wary of them, you know? Hello there. Ready to fight with you. Jeez, you know? So I, at any rate, I was kind of a little distant. Anyway, they all gravitated towards me for some reason. I don't know why. But they all liked John Henry. So we were living this, we were in this terrible, it was in Waterford City, and we were in this terrible enclave, this area of the city that was known to be, more murders happened there, more people were killed, raped, and murdered there than any other part of the city. And that's where these people had established their missionary thing, where they were going. And when we were out in the main streets of the city, that's where I was thinking, gee, I'll surely bump into somebody and they'll think, is there something wrong with this guy? You know, he's gone mad. But it was in the place with these little children. So it came to the first night they were to be driven home. And I was one of the only people there with a rental car, you know. So, John Henry, would you drive them home? To different parts of this neighborhood where you could be killed. I thought, okay. Besides, look at them. Could you wipe your feet or something before you get in the car, please? It's a nice car. And it used to smell really good. You know, open the windows. So all these little kids got into the car. God did something amazing. In the week I was there, I became like that with them. And I couldn't wait to drive them home at night. And felt, hey, if I get killed, it doesn't matter. This is so sweet. They loved me. They didn't want anyone else to drive them home. We'll go with John Henry. We'll go in John Henry's car. And I said, God, you're so good. My heart was turned completely around. All those kids gave their life to the Lord. I'm not saying I was instrumental in all them coming to the Lord. We were all part of it, in encouraging them and blessing them. And they brought their parents, and amazing things happened. God turned the whole thing around, and it became a joy. Feelings follow form. If there are things you don't feel like doing, just do them. Give thanks, give praise, sing. Look at what he says here. I went off there. We're just about at the end. Sing to the Lord. Sing out with joy. Everything you do with joy. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are not ourselves. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. That's the reason why we thank him and praise him. Okay, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Quickly on this, brothers and sisters today. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. What was the psalmist talking about here? He was talking about the temple. Entering the temple with praise and thanksgiving. Well, we don't have the temple today. So, well, we do. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God is living in us. And so, us being the temple, how do we enter into the presence of God? Well, look up, would you, Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16, here's how we do it. We don't go into the temple, but here's how we do it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We come to the throne of grace. We come to the Lord. How do we do that? In prayer. And in this psalm, it says, with thanksgiving and praise. You want to enter his thanksgiving. You want to enter his courts today. I believe we're right there right now. We're in there. But you want to stay in that. Continue today to praise him and to give him thanks and through prayer. And you are inside the courts. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Look at that. Be thankful to him and bless his name. One thing about praise isn't something, by the way, that we use to start our services with, and we have a few songs. Praising him is singing psalms, speaking out to him, shouting out to him, thanking him, all of that we've talked about so far this morning. Giving thanks and praising God. You know, guys, this wonderful psalm, as we're coming to the close of it right now, I want to say one thing to you. That I truly do believe. What has the whole thing been focused on? 95 and 100. I'm going to wrap it with this. And we'll read the last verses. I've been focused on worshiping, praising, and giving thanks. I hope, I pray that you have been touched by God and by His Spirit to want to do that more today. And if there's been a dearth, a dryness, an emptiness of that in your life, that you would be called upon today through hearing His word to come back to it. You know, ingratitude. Pastor Brian is doing a series on Revelation here, as you know, at the moment. And he was talking about the signs at the end of the times. And I thought, gosh, hey, surely this is another sign that very often doesn't get mentioned.
We talk about the way the world is going. Look at things out there in North Korea. Look at this, all the signs at the end of the times. Look at these earthquakes. Look at the floods. Look at what's going on everywhere. Oh my gosh, my golly. We never hear this one. Would you like to write down 2 Timothy 3:1-5? 2 Timothy 3:1-5. We are actually told there, listen, but know this, that in the last days, there's your end times. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Having a form of godliness. Huh. So we're not just talking about the people out there. We're talking about folk that could be church going, having a form of godliness but not thankful. When I read that, man, I said, oh God, I want to be more thankful. Give me, Lord, your ability to thank you more and to praise you more rather than being ungrateful and the ingratitude that we so often have when we've got so much. For the Lord is good. Here's the reason why we should be thankful. Verse 5, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures through all generations. There is the reason to be thankful. The Lord is good. His mercy towards us. He's forgiven us. He continues every day to, as we walk right with him, to forgive us, entering into what he did for us on Calvary's cross. The Lord is good. And so, guys, maybe you want to, as you go out of here today and you're alone with him somewhere, to shout out, you bet, right on, far out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me. Read over these Psalms. Read over this Psalm 100 particularly. And get out there and give him thanks, whether you're on the mountains, whether you're by the ocean, whether you're out under the night sky, whether you're walking around the neighborhood or whatever, and you're out there. The thankful, grateful heart will break the chain of ingratitude, of being ungrateful. It'll be snapped. And you'll feel a freedom and a joy well over you. Like never before. That's, I believe, why I love this psalm, why it's one of my favorite psalms, and I pray it'll be one of yours also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for these two psalms, and we do, Lord, let us do it, Lord. You know, so often we've heard it, so often we've shared it, and there can be ingratitude, ungrateful. Lord, we get it today. We've heard it today. We've heard you call upon us today. And not just because you want the glory given and because it's a beautiful thing to do for you, but you're actually blessing us in it, that we might be set free from the grind, the daily grind of bitterness and ingratitude and being ungrateful, and thereby be liberated. The evil one, the world, the flesh, and the devil robbing us of the joy we can know, of the freedom and the blessing, and being a blessing that we can experience if we come into that place of obedience to what you're telling us today, part 2 of Psalm 95, where we can come into that place, God, of hearing exactly what you're saying to us. Walk in obedience. Stop griping and complaining. Stop murmuring. And let us do it. Let us enter into worshiping you, to praising you, to thanking you, and to going beyond the feelings. Just doing it. And thereby knowing your rich blessing in our lives. And that not indeed even as an end in itself, but that we might go out of this place to be used by you as a blessing to others. Won't you let it be so, Father? In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's family said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Anybody needs prayer, come on up.